Today on Real Radio.
Death to the Christian no longer needs to be feared, and we're going to see three reasons why you can rejoice. And if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ this morning, you can change all that by the end of the message this morning. So I want you to listen. First of all, Jesus said, you want to jot these down. Jesus said in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. That's what Jesus offers you this morning. In John 6:63, Jesus said, it is the Holy Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, Jesus said, are spirit and they are life. The Bible is just not a book. It is the Word of God. So I want to challenge you this morning. We're going to dive into this.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're in a mini-series called The Witnessing Church, a look at passages in the book of Acts chapters 6 and 7. The latter chapter contains the account of Stephen and his telling the history of Israel to the religious authorities of the day, and he doesn't paint it with very flattering colors. Ultimately, this is what cost him his life on earth, as he would end up being stoned to death. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in an examination of the last 10 verses of Acts chapter 7.
As we look at our study, we come to really what is now to be part 6 and the final part of a message that's been entitled The Witnessing Church. And it all began with Stephen in his address to the religious hierarchy, the pastors and popes and priests of the day, when they questioned him about his relationship to God. And they had falsely accused him of coming against their religious icons and the things that they trusted in. And briefly, what they trusted in was not God, but the temple of God. And rather than trusting in the God of the Bible, they were trusting in their Old Testament, rather than the very God who created all things. And when they asked Stephen concerning his accusations that were brought against him, are all these things true, Stephen? Stephen used that moment to tell them really a synopsis of their life history as a nation. That God had spoken to Moses to lead the people out, they had rejected Moses. That God had spoken to Joseph, but they had rejected Joseph. That God had sent his prophets throughout the years, which you hold in your lap now, the Old Testament, and they had rejected them to the point of killing them. And then finally this morning, Stephen's going to draw their attention to the ultimate rejection, that finally they rejected Jesus Christ, God in human form, come into the world known as God's Son, Jesus, who died for the sins of the world. And what did they do to him? Rather than receiving him, they rejected him. Now listen up before you nod off. They rejected the one who loved them, who died for them. And what they chose was religion. They chose church membership. They chose positions. They chose religion rather than knowing him personally. There's an old story I came across this week of an old Scottish shepherd. And he was dying there in Scotland. And some friends of his asked their pastor to come and lead this man to Christ. And he had been sick for a while, and it was apparent that he was drawing close to death. And by the way, you know, every one of us are going to die. You need to be wise like this old shepherd and prepare your way. As the pastor arrived, he was talking to him, and he says, you've been pastoring sheep or shepherding sheep very long? And he said, all my life. Well, where did you lead them? Well, I tended to them, and I led them over in such and such a valley. And he goes, oh, I know it. It's right near the coast. It's beautiful. And he goes, yes, it is. And he said, have you ever noticed, the pastor said, that how the Atlantic brings those storms in off the coast and how fast the clouds move across those hills and how the shadows run across that valley there? And he goes, oh yeah, I saw it all my life. And he said, have you ever been afraid of any of those shadows that would race across that valley? And he goes, afraid of a shadow? Why should I be afraid of a shadow? And the old man looked up into the pastor's eyes and he said, why should I be afraid of a shadow? I have never been afraid of a shadow, nor am I now. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And that old man, in his suffering, came to know Jesus Christ. And in his death, he went to heaven. And every one of us this morning, unless Jesus comes back, and I hope by the end of this message, for the rapture of the church, we'll be out of here. And we'll escape that thing called death. But if he doesn't come back soon, the Bible tells us it's appointed unto every man once to die, and then the judgment. Well, you know what? Right now this morning, you and I have the choice that God has given us to set up in advance, to literally make reservations about how the end will be. Jesus has given you that power. And I want you to listen to what he has provided for us, and it will come to you in kind of a, I think, maybe not a commonly accepted way. And let me explain. We're going to look at 3 points this morning about death, because Stephen's going to die. And I don't know any of us guys who are saying, oh boy, tomorrow's Monday, I'm going to go out and get a new life insurance plan. We don't even want to talk about it. We don't want to talk about death. I knew somebody who's in heaven now, but they, before Christ, they would drive by a cemetery and look the other way. They wouldn't even look that way because for fear of death. Death, to the Christian, no longer needs to be feared, and we're going to see 3 reasons why you can rejoice. And if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ this morning, you can change all that by the end of the message this morning. So I want you to listen. First of all, Jesus said, you want to jot these down. Jesus said in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. That's what Jesus offers you this morning. In John 6:63, Jesus said, it is the Holy Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, Jesus said, are spirit and they are life. The Bible is just not a book. It is the Word of God. So I want to challenge you this morning. We're going to dive into this. As you sit here right now, I want to ask you, why are you here? And how did you come here?
Well, I came in a car.
That's not what I'm asking. How did you come here? How's your heart? How's your ears? You need to listen up. In a moment, it's going to be very, very evident why. How did you come? We live in Southern California. It's got to be the most Bible-believing, expositional, deep preaching, teaching place of the world. You can turn on any station anytime and hear great Bible teaching by 100 different guys. You can get upset here or get whatever here and go down the street and get great Bible teaching. And you can go down the street from that church and get great Bible teaching. We are glutted with the Word of God, and that's awesome. We just need to be realizing that we're responsible to have such a blessing here. But how we respond and what we think makes all the difference in the world. You may have your opinion this morning about God. Listen, what matters is God's opinion toward you. And so as we get into this, we so often, because of the glut that we have of the Word, we can say, well, you know, that was an okay message. It didn't make me laugh very much. Well, you're not supposed to come here to laugh. And it's not a sin if you laugh. But we judge messages. Oh, it was so entertaining. Well, golly gee, man, I read Jesus, and I don't know if he ever entertained anybody. I think he preached, and sometimes I think it was kind of funny. Remember when Zacchaeus is sitting at the table, and he gets born again? Right at the table, he gets saved. And he goes to his little hole in the wall, he pulls out his safe and starts throwing money back to all the people he robbed from. And the Greek implies that when Jesus said, today I tell you, salvation has come to this man's house, that he was chuckling when he did it. Jesus might have said it this way. Today I tell you, salvation's come to this guy's house. Look at him. He was a tax collector. Anytime a tax collector gives money back, salvation must have come to his house. And I think Jesus laughed. with joy. We know that Jesus was very intense sometimes. After one of his personal witnessing encounters, he began to weep because the rich young man went away sorry and sad because he was wealthy and he didn't want to receive Jesus because he loved his money and his house and his home and his gold-plated, pinstriped, wire-wheeled donkeys more than Jesus. And Jesus causes us every day to make a choice. So let's get into this and see what he has to say in Acts chapter 7. And we'll cover verses 51 to 60 this morning, and we'll put Stephen's testimony to rest. And I warn you, he starts off in the sermon, or winds up, I guess, in a very subtle way. Verse 51, he says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it." Verse 54, "And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed up into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said," verse 56, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Powerful portion of scripture here. And we come 60 verses of this message of Stephen. And now it comes to an end. And he's actually promoted. And that's what we're going to look at first. So jot it down in your notes that the death to a Christian is a promotion. And you and I, if death is not near our house right now, we go, "Oh yeah, cool, I write it down. Death is a promotion." There's been people this week in this church that have put their loved ones into the grave. And you know what this morning the greatest issue on their heart was? "I don't know if he knew the Lord. I don't know if he knew the Lord." Because if he would have known that for sure, you could celebrate at a funeral. I did a funeral a couple of weeks ago. And you stand there and you go through the truth. But the bottom line, did the person know the Lord? And when a person knows Jesus Christ, funerals are great. Last night at Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, as we had the people over and just had a great time, and many of you have told me how much of a good time you had, we went out in the backyard after dinner and enjoyed I don't know what the deal was, but it was like a meteor shower, and I don't know if you saw that. It was fantastic. Well, and one family went to another family's house, and of course, nobody knew who's coming, right? And they go over, and they had a dairy, and they're sitting there, and right in the middle of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, this cow began to have twin calves being born. So they got to just kind of, "Oh my gosh," and the family helped deliver these two calves, and you never know, guess who's coming to dinner, you know? But why am I talking about this? I've totally forgotten why I even brought this up. I don't have a clue. Things I like. My highlight of the week is Friday morning prayer meetings right here with you. I love them. And I love teaching. I love that. I had a lot of fun last night, but I tell you what, I love doing funerals, especially if it's a Christian funeral, because it's a celebration. And it can be that way for you. And if you're a Christian, it should be that way for you. Look at verse 54. We're going to skip verses 51 and 53, and we'll come back to it at the end. But in verse 54, we see here that death is the Christian's coronation. It says there in verse 54, "When they heard these things," what things? Stephen says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart? You've killed not only the prophets, but you've killed Jesus, the Just One. You've even rejected Moses." He's laying it all on them. So verse 54 says, "When they heard this, they were cut to the heart." That word in the Greek means cut to the quick of your finger. Doesn't that sound painful? In fact, the word means to have a knee-jerk reaction. You ever seen a knee-jerk reaction? It's kind of funny when somebody like hits their funny bone. They kind of act like a like, you know, like they're spazzing out or something. They just kind of freak out. Now, I would have given anything to see this. Stephen's preaching. He's going along. And all of a sudden, if you read the sermon from one start to the other, from verse 1 to verse 60, right here in verse 51, he changes tune. He goes for the throat. Why? Because it's implied that the people sitting in the church, really it was the council, the 70, sitting there, they're going, this guy, he's making us mad. And they begin to get angry, and they're cut to the heart, and they're furious. And so what happens when he says this truth that's very convicting? They couldn't deny it. Listen, that's why they reacted the way they did. If it wasn't true, it wouldn't have been any big deal. But he hit the nail on the head. And this morning in the message, the nail might hit you on the head. And you might go, I don't want to hear this. I want to ask you, and I want to prime you, why not? Because when God, when he saves someone, he often has to bring them to the point of giving up. Stephen's trying to get these guys to see the truth, but they have a knee-jerk reaction. He delivers the message, and they go, what? I mean, they just go, boing. Knee-jerk. They respond. And they're cut to the heart. They're cut to the quick of the heart. And look, they gnashed at him with their teeth. Now in Israel, when they're really disgusted, if they want to, first of all, it's really sad, if they want to cuss you out in Israel, you know how they do it? They do it in English. Because Hebrew, they don't have cuss words in Hebrew. Isn't that sad? I mean, that's good. It's sad they have to use English. But if they're really disgusted, they stick their tongue out at you and they wag their heads back and forth. Stick their tongue out and wag their head. Well, when they're really about ready to go out of control, they looked at him, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. And the word means in the Greek to gnash the teeth to the point of pain. Now, I've been angry, but I've never been that angry. But they are grinding their jaw in teeth because they're that mad. Furious. So get that in your mind as he's standing there, gnashing painfully upon their teeth. Remember, Stephen's full of the Holy Spirit. He delivers the truth. They respond. Why? Because it's truth. You may sit here this morning and criticize the Bible. You may have your opinion. You may be so absolutely naive about the Bible that you might even think that it's untrustworthy. You might think that there's errors in the Bible because Grandma or Uncle Bill or your friend told you. I want to correct your viewpoint. There are no mistakes in the Bible, not a one, and if you could find one, you'll be a millionaire. This book, the reason why it has survived, and it is the most authentic and documented book in all of the world, even to this day, is because it's God's word, and he said he'd preserve it. And that it literally judges us. We don't judge the Bible. We don't walk into church and say, well, let me see if I agree with this. Oh, no. You come to church, and the Bible looks at you and says, let's see how you are in line with God's holy word. You don't criticize the Bible. The Bible judges us. And we want to make sure that we wind up on the right side because it gives us that opportunity. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the scripture says, for the word of God is living and powerful. That's why there was a knee-jerk reaction. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Why? Because it pierces even to the division of the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow of the heart. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The word of God does this. Mechanics Illustrated doesn't do that to you. People Magazine doesn't do that to you. The Bible does it to you because it's living and powerful. But watch Stephen. He's so awesome to me. I mean, we need this guy on our Saturday night street witnessing team. Either that or we all need to become like him. He says in verse 55, or it says, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed up into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. You want to know why Jesus is standing? You read the book of Hebrews. We're going through it on Wednesday nights. Everywhere you pick up, it says Jesus is sitting. Jesus is sitting. Oh, Jack, I told you, contradiction in the Bible. Oh, no. Jesus is sitting on the throne to the right hand of the Father. Why? His work's done. He's paid the price. It's over. Cross is done. He's risen from the dead. He's given you the eternal life. He's done working. Well, then why is he standing? Have you ever been to a track meet? You ever been to a football game? When I had the football and I was running across the end zone, you know who I was looking for? Because you know how us guys are. We're looking for the approval of our dad, aren't we? I got the ball, I'm running. Man, I hope my dad's watching. 15, 10, 5. Oh, man, I hope he's watching. You get to the end zone, what do? You look up to see if your dad's in the stands watching. And my dad was not only standing with the rest, he would be standing on top of the people who are standing. That's who I'm looking for. Jesus stands up because Jesus knows Stephen, is just about ready to enter into glory. Jesus stands up, looks over the cloud, and says, all right, come on, you can do it. 10, 5. He's cheering him on. I read 18 commentaries on this verse about what they were going to say about Jesus standing up. Read 18 commentaries, got about 21 opinions, and I didn't like any of them. You want to know what the right answer is? There's two right answers. Jesus can't wait for you to get to heaven. That's one of them. I don't care how you feel about yourself. I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you're backslidden or if you're not even saved or if you're walking right on with Jesus Christ. The bottom line is, he thinks you're pretty something. He loves you enough to send his only begotten son to the cross to die for you. You think he loves you less now? The Bible says he's known you before you were ever born. He was the one that was snapping you together in your mommy's womb. He loves you. He's given you life. Well, my life is so messed up. I understand that. But who messed it up? He didn't. Oh, yeah? No, he didn't. If you would follow him and listen to him, your life would be blessed. And your death would only be glory. But people want to do it without Jesus, so they get into extramarital affairs, or they get into drugs or alcohol, and they do all kinds of things to try to fit that hole. I want to find meaning to life. I want excitement. I want to just really get into it. And you go from thing to person to event, and you'll never be complete until Jesus steps inside the hole in your heart.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called The Witnessing Church, a look at the last 10 verses of the book of Acts, chapter 7. It's the account of Stephen, who would end up being martyred for telling the truth about Israel's rebellious history. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, we'll hear the final part of this mini-series called The Witnessing Church. If you've been benefiting from and enjoying Real Radio, and you'd like to support this daily program, we're offering you a way to do so, which will also be of great benefit to your prayer life. We'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-CD set called When a Christian Prays, when you make a tax-deductible contribution of any amount. When a Christian Prays has already helped quite a number of Christians in understanding the proper biblical view of prayer. In fact, you can read more about When a Christian Prays when you visit us at realradioactive.org. It's right there on the front page under the banner Special Offer. So again, this 2-CD set of Pastor Jack's teaching, When a Christian Prays, is yours for a gift of any amount, all of which will go to the support of Real Radio. So again, you can visit us at realradioactive.org or get in touch by telephone, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.